5306 here on DGS. Rachel, Andrew, and me hanging out. Got another couple of hours in the week. Obviously, Dave is out. As you all know, if you've been keeping up, his mom has been in hospice up until this morning. She passed away this morning. And, you know, look, we are all feeling for Dave. We've been in contact with him. It sounds like he'll be back soon. And it's whenever he's ready is perfect for all of us. But he really does appreciate all of the messages. And there have been hundreds of messages on our Facebook account. So if you go to the DGS page on Facebook, you can leave Dave a message if you'd like. But he appreciates them a lot. And he's been telling us that directly. So if you're feeling the desire to do that, know that it'll be seen, it'll be heard, and it will be felt as well. And we're looking forward to getting Dave back here in the not-too-distant future. Mm-hmm. All right, so a lot of what's in the news, I don't know if I still have it on the rundown. I might have taken it off, but I was just going through some news stuff over the weekend, I think, or maybe it was early in the week. And every website I went to, whether it was the news networks or just like the network news, which is obviously different, right? You got Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, but then you also have the regular ones like CBS News and NBC News, like the ones that are not necessarily affiliated with the 24-hour networks. But it's like nothing in the world exists but politics. Mm-hmm. Right? Like all of the news is just politics, which has kind of been understandable these last couple of weeks because it's been pretty crazy. From an assassination attempt to presidential candidate stepping down, right? There's been a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And it's a big part. Politics is a big part of what is, I'd say, a big part of American culture right now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's something that is almost an overwhelming influence. What I found interesting, and I found this video yesterday, it's not new information. It's stuff that I have read before. I think some of these things we've even talked about before. But it's presented in a very clear and concise way that I thought was interesting. And I'm not sure exactly what the event was. And I'm not sure who the second dude is in this. But the actor and comedian Ed Helms is one of the voices you're hearing. And they're doing an explanation of kind of what our political universe is like right now. And they're using real information based on a study done at Princeton University. And it starts off, it goes into a couple of ways. It's not that long. I think it's a minute and a half or so. Is that what it is? Oh, no, it's 2 minutes. But I want to play the 2 minutes and I want us to react to it because this is the stuff that everybody should be upset about. You shouldn't be upset about what your opposing, your neighbor's party is doing versus your party. You shouldn't be fighting left versus right. You should be mad about the things that you're going to hear in this audio. And it starts with how much public opinion comes into play when it comes to Congress turning public opinion into policy, into law.
Our political system is actually, in and of itself, making things worse for all of us. And here's how it works. If there is an issue that has zero public support, zero, there is approximately a 30% chance that Congress will pass a law based on this idea. Incredibly, if there is 100% support for an idea, you math majors know where this is going, there's still a 30% chance that Congress will pass a law based on that idea. The key finding of the study is the following. The preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy.
Politicians spend up to 70% of their time in office fundraising for the next election. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's just how it works. It's perfectly legal, and it's also insanely corrupt.
The two-party duopoly that we are locked into, where you, as a voter, you get to vote for a Democrat or a Republican, or you can just throw away your vote. Studies show that half of the people in each party don't really want to be there. It's just the only choice they have. To make matters even worse, we have gerrymandered congressional districts like this, where politicians are using digital surgical tools to cut voters out of the next election if they voted the wrong way in this one.
That means we know who's going to win the election before the election even happens. And that means that the election is meaningless. It's just a ritual, a quaint nod to the past. It has no value or meaning in our process.
17% of voters participate in primaries. It's a very small amount. And of those 17% from each party, they tend to be the most extreme or polarized voters from each side that are motivated to show up. And so here's what happens. In a Republican safe district where there's no competition at all in the general, you have the most extreme voters choosing the more extreme candidate who wins the primary, basically skips the general, and represents us in Congress. And then in a Democrat safe district, you have the same thing happening from the other side, a minority of voters choosing a candidate that almost goes straight to Congress to represent us.
So there's a lot to unpack there, and I think it's important to do it very simply, right? So there's a few things that stand out, and I want to get your guys' reaction to this. And anybody listening, like, these are the things that United States citizens should be upset about. So working backward, we've talked about this. In fact, John Hancock and Michael Kelly tell us this literally all the time when we're talking about elections, that the low participation in primaries is why you get candidates that are extreme. And because the people that are most invested are the only ones that really participate in primaries. Most normies do not. So you're not having a say at that level. And then based on where you live, the lines have been drawn so that one party or the other is safe. That's just how it is. And if you look at it, they did a bit. We didn't show it because it's visual. But they did a bit where they pulled all of these voting districts, real voting districts, and they all look like letters of the alphabet. That's how they're drawn. Like A through Z, you can do a whole alphabet of districts that look like that letter. That's how weirdly they're drawn. That is drawn precisely so that one party wins that one, and it doesn't matter which one. And if you work backward through some of those things that they talked about, so you have that element. You have the element that public opinion has almost zero impact on what becomes law or the policy of the United States. Well, why do you think that is? It's partly because of that last part, and it's also because who they really listen to are the people that have the most money, because that's who funds their elections, right? Not you and me. We don't. We're not the ones donating tens of thousands of dollars or hosting big parties where they can raise funds. So that beginning part where if 0% of the United States population likes an idea, that idea still has a 30% chance of becoming law. If every American likes an idea, it still has a 30% chance of becoming law. That's nonsense. And we want to wonder why we're in the position that we're in. It's all of these things. How do you guys react to that? I mean, because some of it we've talked about in bits and pieces. We all know this when you think about it. You know this is what it is. What is your reaction? And then also, how do you get around this?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people's reaction would be anger. Me personally, I feel angry, but it also makes me feel, not to be a pessimist, but it makes me feel rather hopeless because the people making those rules are never going to change the rules to hurt themselves in any way. So people who are gerrymandering are not going to be like, you know what, let's put a stop to this. I think we've been doing the wrong thing this whole time. Let's get on the straight and narrow path. Like, that's never going to happen. And the primary thing, only 17% of people vote. I'm going to vote in the primaries on August 6th, but I can only control my vote,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like, how do you motivate people who don't care or are too busy or too preoccupied to pay attention to this kind of stuff? It just makes you feel bad, really. And it, yeah, I mean, again, not to be a pessimist, but that's where I'm at listening to that audio.
Yeah, and, you know, about gerrymandering is a very, very bad part of our political system, but that's something that those of us in the public have known for many, many years. This isn't a, you know, this isn't an expose. We're not blowing the lid off of gerrymandering here. It's very bad. However, the problem with it is that we, as the voters, don't really have a particular way to stop it.
Well, we would. It would be participating and putting people in there that would change it. But we would have to do that on a massive scale across the country, which seems like, what to Rachel's point, seems damn near impossible.
And why would they change it? Why would anybody
like who even runs on, like, I'm going to stop the gerrymandering? Like, that's not even something you really even hear.
Well, no, they wouldn't, because it's not in their interest. Right? Because once you're elected in a district, if that's a safe district for you.
And that's what I mean when I say we are, as voters, powerless to stop it.
Because well, we're not totally
powerless. It would require a nationwide turn of politicians into paragons of election integrity, which they've never been.
No, no, I think that, the point would be that by participating in the primaries, you could find candidates that would do that, that would want to do that, that aren't interested in being there for 30 years, that aren't interested in that. They just want to change it. But right now, that person could never win. The only way that person could win is if everybody decided we wanted to participate and we would choose those people. Now, that is, I mean, it all, to your guys, both of your points, I think that's the frustrating part, is it just feels like a fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't feel like something that could actually happen. Is it something that is possible? Well, yeah, it's possible, but it is so unlikely. It's about as likely as public opinion influencing public policy.
And the other thing is, again, not to be a pessimist, but how many people do you think have set out to run for an office and they're pure of heart at the start, and then they get in and they look around and they see all the opportunities that are to be had, and then suddenly those morals and those goals just kind of go out the window?
Yeah, that is perhaps an even bigger problem, is that you're saying that the power that we would have would be to put someone in there who would want to change it. But the truth is that they would not only have to want to change it, but they would then have to maintain that integrity for the entire, what, 2, 4, 6 years, whatever, that they would be in that office.
Well, but the problem, again, if we participated, then if they didn't do what they said they would do, we would replace them.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we don't participate to begin with, so you never even get that chance. So if that person knew that by not taking that action, they would also lose, that would be the only solution. But again, how in the world are we going to change the patterns of the 80 to 90% of people that just don't have time or desire to participate in primaries?
Right.
I mean, essentially what we've all, and this is what, why I do, this is why I'm the party hater. This is why I hate the whole team sport element of all of this, because we end up arguing with each other. We end up fighting left versus right, and we're told that the enemy is over there and they want to vote differently than you. The problem is not your neighbor. It is not the person that you know that disagrees with you. The problem is the system. The problem is that it's set up, whether intentional or not, it is set up currently to benefit only the most wealthy people in the country, because they wield the influence that we regular people do not wield, because we choose not to use it. Now, I'm not blaming I'm not blaming rich dudes or whatever. They're taking advantage of our lack of willingness to participate. So when you wonder what influences public policy is money, which is why people that get elected spend 70% of their time fundraising for the next election. Where's that fundraising coming from? And rather than being mad or picking fights with people that are politically different than you, you should be upset by this dynamic. We are not in control and haven't been for a long time because we don't play the game. All right, we got Dave Murray with the weather coming up. I don't know why I hesitated on weather, but the weather, that'll be coming up after 3:30.
Dave Murray, what does that guy do
that
again?
I think
sport, not sports.
Earthquakes. He's our earthquake expert.
He's our we do a daily earthquake monitoring segment.
Dave will join us. Dave Murray.
Daily radiation monitoring.
Will join us after the news. Holly Thompson Raider later on around 4 o'clock, coming out of the 4 o'clock news. So still got a little ways to go and a lot to do, so have some fun with it. Rach, you had an interesting story about something that comes up a lot. I'm not sure that I've ever paid much attention to it, because I never felt like it was a thing that was ever going to happen. But universal basic income in the news?
Yeah. So the National Bureau of Economic Research did a study over 3 years with about 3,000 participants. And this study found that UBI recipients and their partners work and earn less, with the negative effect on wages and earnings getting worse over time. I thought that was very interesting. So whenever you get, you know, this extra $1,000, $2,000 a month, it actually leads people to I guess, try less hard at work and not bring in as much income, which, I, you know, on one hand makes total sense. It's like, well, if you have guaranteed income coming in, and why would I pick up that extra shift on Saturday? But then I think it brings up the question to a lot of people of like, oh, is this going to be just horrible for society if people lose their work ethic over something like this? What do you think about that, Wheels?
It's a good question. Do you guys think that people lose a work ethic, or they just do what they would do at work, which is if you don't like your job, you're just going to do whatever you have to do, and that's it,
to get by?
Yeah, I mean, because I think that mentality exists already, and if you had extra money, well, then you would just be enhancing that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it wouldn't exist. It certainly does. I doubt it would change somebody, though, that is motivated, that wants to make $1 million. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to knock those people off the list. But it certainly might enhance someone that's like, I'm never getting ahead, so I might as well just take it the easy way.
Mm-hmm. You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Checking on DGS here on a Friday. Time to see what's happening out there in our weather universe with our good friend Dave Murray. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So we still looking at some good stuff?
Well, yeah, this evening is fine. Tomorrow, for the most part, is okay. Sunday is a stormy day. Not all day, but it's a stormy day, mm-hmm. and then hardcore heat and humidity coming back.
Mm.
But come on, it's the end of July and August.
No, that's fair.
What we've had the last several days is just take it and run and enjoy it. Know what's coming. Just know what's coming.
How unusual is it at this particular time to have that long of a stretch of like what we all would consider comfortable?
Yeah, that's pretty unusual. Yeah, we tend to get 2, maybe 3 days, but this has been a great stretch, just a wonderful stretch. Low humidity, the Gulf of Mexico has been shut off, just fine. And again, this evening is fine, still comfortable humidity. Tomorrow, still comfortable humidity, 86 degrees, partly sunny skies, but there will be a couple of spot thunderstorms around, so we'll keep an eye on the sky. Saturday night, the humidity comes pouring back in. A lot of clouds around. Some thunderstorms really starting to crank up after midnight Saturday night, 72. And Sunday is that unsettled day. A mix of clouds and sunshine. It's not a washout of a day, but okay. It's very humid. There will be scattered thunderstorms. Count on that. So outside, out and about, keep an eye on the sky. Though not anticipating a lot of severe weather, these storms are juicy and slow moving. So there's going to be heavy rain at times, lightning, and even the possibility of flash flooding, 88 degrees. That should all kind of push out of the picture Sunday night. Monday, partly sunny, a couple of thunderstorms around, very humid, 92, mid-90s, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Maybe even some upper 90s coming next week.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh-hoo.
It's all right.
Gotta live with it.
That's all right. I mean, well, first of all, it's all right, Dave, because my coaching season's over, so I'm not going to be out in the heat every weekend anymore. So it makes
it's also all right because we can't do anything about it.
that's true. Yep.
Kevin's like, it's okay, Dave. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, no, I'm never mad at Dave. I just get mad at the weather gods. Damn it, Thor. No, he's not the weather god.
I have been called that.
But it does sound like, so maybe I'm not remembering this well, and I know we just had some heavy rain here in the recent, but it doesn't feel like this run in the month of July really has been as dry as I remember recent Julys.
July typically is a very dry month. This has been a wet month, no question about it. And June was kind of wet, but as I laid out in the summer forecast, I still think August is the hot month of summer and also the dry month of summer. And we could be, by the middle of August, even the end of August, be talking about a little bit of a drought.
Okay.
Not a hardcore drought, but a little bit of a drought settling in.
So what you're saying is my grass is going to be brown here soon.
Yep.
it's funny. Like, I, obviously I listen to you every day. We talk about this every day, and I understand when I see rain, but I largely judge how things are going by what color my grass is.
Sure,
like
sure.
It's green, so I mean, and I don't water it very much, so it must be unusually wet.
Yeah, we've had plenty of rain, and you have bluegrass, right? You have cool season grass, not zoysia.
I don't know. Do I?
I don't know.
How do I tell the difference?
Well,
I got the straight
in the summertime. Zoysia is spectacular. It's green. It's lush. It's having a good time. And the bluegrass, the cool season grasses, go dormant and they go brown.
It's probably that one then, because it's the kind that's pretty straight, not the kind that gets all weaved together and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a grass expert, Dave.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
It's oozing out of you.
Yep. I'm the next in line for the lawn and garden show.
Yeah, people would call up and be like, what do I do about this? And Wheels would just be like, I don't know.
Google it. All right, Rachel, let's get some headlines.
All right. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. This is very sad. Police are investigating after France's high-speed train lines were targeted by multiple malicious acts, including arson, and what has been described as coordinated sabotage to disrupt travel ahead of the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics. A large number of trains were diverted or canceled, and the French state railway company asked travelers who can to postpone their trip and not go to these stations. They have opened an investigation into the attack, so we'll learn more about that in the future.
Yeah, they haven't said yet, or nobody's claimed credit for
Not to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Hate that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Very upsetting.
Yeah. For whatever the reason is, don't do that.
Former President Donald Trump will return to Pennsylvania next week. This is for the first time since the July 13th assassination attempt in Butler Township. He will hold a rally in Harrisburg, about 226 miles east of Butler, on July 31st. It will also be Trump's first visit to Pennsylvania since President Biden dropped out of the race. Of course, Pennsylvania being a crucial swing state in the 2024 election. So that'll be interesting to see. I wonder if he feels weird about going back there after the assassination attempt. I certainly would. I would feel a little nervous.
You got to have a little bit of, like, I don't want to say trepidation, because, you know, look, it was a one, like, goofy kid who did something like on his own. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen again, but you still have that in your head.
Oh yeah,
right. You still have
the trauma,
the experience, and I'm sure all of the things that went along with that, the sounds of it, everything else. So yeah, I would imagine that's a bit of a challenge.
There was a golf cart chase in Florida, and a Florida man is in custody for allegedly drunk driving on a golf cart and leading deputies on a chase in the Villages. Man, the Villages are infamous at this point.
Out of control.
Before you said the Villages, I was going to say, it must be the Villages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Police say the man driving the cart shortly after 1 a.m. when they tried to stop him several times. Deputies finally had to get out of their patrol car and pull him out of the cart as he was trying to pass them.
at 15 miles an hour.
Right.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
Especially at the Villages.
I'll tell you what, you know, the headline used to always be Florida man. Now it's just going to be at the Villages. Mm-hmm. It's taken over for Florida man.
According to market research firm Spherical Insights, the American beer industry was valued at $106.6 billion in 2022, and that figure is expected to grow to $154.7 billion by 2032. They did a study here, and they showed that North Dakotans drink more beer than any other state in the U.S. New Hampshire takes second place with 43.9 gallons per capita.
I was trying to say, I'm trying to figure out, like, is there a connection between those that would be, like, why there's more beer being consumed there per person?
And they're, like, cool weather climates much of the year.
Yeah. I was
wondering,
like,
kind of weird.
Drink a beer to warm yourself
I was about
up.
To make a Maybe. Joke and be like, ah, yeah, because, you know, there's nothing to do in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Is there nothing to do in New Hampshire?
I've never been to New Hampshire, so I can't
either.
Answer
I'm going to say yes to both.
No, there's lots to do in New Hampshire.
Like what?
Well, there's Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh.
Awesome lake. There's the coast of New Hampshire. Mountains.
Those are not things
skiing.
To do. That is the first thing you've named that is a thing to do.
No, water's a thing to do.
Water's not a thing to do.
Yeah, you go in it.
Yeah, what do you do? Well, what do you do when you're on a boat?
You drink water. Beer.
Well, you drink beer. There you go. We've proven our point.
The guy who just went to the lake for his vacation, he's like, the water is...
yep, that's about right. You go out of the water and drink beer.
I hate getting wet.
I also didn't drink any beer.
Paris Olympics have sold record tickets. Organizers of the 2024 Olympics say the Paris Games have broken the record for the most tickets sold or allocated in the event's history. 9.7 million tickets were sold for this year's Olympic and Paralympic Games, with 8.7 million sold for the former and 1 million for the latter. Let's see. The previous ticket sales record was held by Atlanta in 1996, when 8.3 million tickets were sold. Love to see it. I'm, like we said earlier in the show, extremely excited for the Olympics, and I think it's going to be a fun couple of weeks.
I wonder what the resale value is for some of those events and venues.
Yeah, I don't know.
So apparently they have over 200,000 listings for the secondary market. I wonder how that translates to, like, the U.S. marketplace. So we see, like, Super Bowl tickets are $25,000 or something like that. The Olympics probably don't carry that because they're smaller events and everybody that goes has more of a specific interest, right? It's not like everybody wants to go to one thing. Although opening ceremonies tickets, I bet, are pretty, well, I guess it's a little different when you're going down the Seine. Mm-hmm. You're going through the entire city as opposed to being in the Olympic stadium. Maybe that made it a little bit more, I don't know, did you even need to get a ticket to go to that? Just be down there by the Seine?
Yeah, you might just need to show up.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Interesting.
Barack and Michelle Obama have formally endorsed Kamala Harris for president in a video showing Harris get a call from the couple. The former president said, "Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office." We had said yesterday that the Obamas were expected to endorse Kamala Harris very soon, and they did.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
And my final story here, according to a new survey, more than 3 in 4 parents, or 70%, believe that schools ask them to buy too much for the back-to-school season, and 86% of parents think the cost of education is getting out of control.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time since even my own child was in, like, grade school where you were buying school supplies, but I don't remember the demands on her supplies being that much different than what I remembered for my own.
I wonder if it's changed in the past 20 or so years, though.
I mean,
you know?
No, I mean, for her, she graduated high school like 9 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, we were still, so if you're going back to grade school, it's been, you know, a solid 12, 13, 14 years. Interesting.
You know what I always thought was interesting is whenever they would have a box of Kleenex on the school supply list. I understand why all the kids need to bring in Kleenex because you probably go through a million, but it was always like, why doesn't the school just have the tissues?
Well, because teachers are always like doing fundraisers to cover things that they don't have for the class. I mean, we talk a lot about how messed up the higher education system is and the high cost of going to college and all that. It feels like it's all just messed up.
I agree with that. All right.
Too bad there's nobody out there that could fix that. Dave, thanks so much. I didn't mean
have
you.
Have a great weekend.
Rachel, we didn't get into this when we were talking about the Olympics things, but again, I figured this is a good way to briefly mention this. But did you see the story about the Canadian soccer teams?
I did, yeah. This is crazy. They were spying with drones?
That's the accusation. So Sportsnet in Canada, they have a couple of different sports networks there, but that's like ESPN. They had a story that broke yesterday that the Canadian national soccer teams, both the men and the women, the teams are being accused of spying on their opponents' closed practices for years.
Wow.
Using drones and other technology and I guess finding ways into the stadium or into the practice facilities where they could record what was going on as a way of gaining an advantage. And that, by the way, that this covers the year when their women's team won the Olympic gold medal.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, we're not that big into Canadian sports, obviously. But
well, speak for yourself. That's
I mean,
all
this
I care
is the
about.
Kind of stuff that got brought up, you know, in the NFL with Spygate and the Patriots and things along those lines. But for it to be at the Olympic level, is probably going to gain it a lot more worldwide attention, right? Mm-hmm. You know, something that happens in the National Football League is massive in the United States, but worldwide is really not that big of a deal. But the most popular sport in the world is soccer. And in particular, on the women's side, the team has had a lot of success, obviously winning a gold medal. I have to believe there are a lot of countries out there that are pretty heated about this. Like, this is... And now, again, it's their accusations at the moment, but the way that the story is written is that the people that led the Canadian soccer program that were, you know, not so much, not the players. The players are not accused in this. It's the coaching staff and I guess their executives that were supposedly involved. And apparently they told like part-time workers or new employees that if they didn't do this, their jobs were in jeopardy and kind of coerced them into doing it. It sounds like some of those people are the ones that are talking. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.